So, welcome back to this episode of Mr. Studies. As you can see, we are now in a new place. If you're watching the video podcast, then you can see that. On the audio podcast, you will just have to settle on to listening to my voice and imagining that I'm in a new setting. Like a change of set and new haircut, actually. But anyway, so in these last few episodes, I spoke about kind of the intro, what got me into talking about these things, and what Mr. Studies is about, kind of trying to explain some ideas. And I spoke about energy, trying to express what I mean with that, because it's one of these foundational elements, one of these things that's just affecting everything else, our view of energy, the way we can work with it or act. At least for me, that has been the case. And then I've been writing up an episode connected to that energy episode that goes maybe more into the specifics or gives some very practical examples of where energy plays a big role or is a part of that situation. And that for me at least has been boundaries in relationships, and mostly maybe very close relationships, but actually all kinds of relationships. I think boundaries is sometimes a bit tricky to talk about because there can be this very black and white view, like in most things, that the only answer is you have to have better boundaries, or you have too good boundaries, like you don't let anyone in, or... And of course, it's more complex than that, but there's some truth to both those stances, and that depends on the person and the situation, of course, which is the case for you personally. And for me, it has been mostly the first of those, like, total lack of boundaries, resulting in a feeling of kind of being drowning in other people's emotions, or what I feel at least. That's how it's felt. Not really knowing who I am, because I've been so affected by someone else's opinions and energy. And sometimes I even wanted that. I thought, like, I think I had an ideal to relationships where it's the ideal, the highest ideal was that you would totally kind of melt with the other and connect so deeply, like having this very deep longing for connecting. And then it's happened by me then sacrificing myself or dissolving myself. And if you're a kind of chameleon person, like I feel I am in different situations, I express differently or with different people, then that happens more easily, I think, that you would start to take in impressions. And to some extent, that's like a normal thing, a very natural thing that happens. And maybe it's good to respect that. That's how my energy functions. And sometimes you can use it as to your advantage to play out different ways of being, or that's just a part of me. My options are more broad in if I can have a space to choose from where I can be in different ways and take in influence from others and experience myself and my identity in different ways. But of course, the drawback is if it goes too far into me just totally having to cut off from a relationship or a person because I've gone too far in just losing myself. And then this turned out to be quite a rambling introduction here. I have written some notes, and The tricky thing is I write very elaborate notes, and sometimes I end up just reading it everything, and then it's very boring to maybe listen to or look to it. It sounds like I'm just reading straight from my notes. But let's see. I'm gonna check them so I can keep, hopefully, some kind of a red thread and say what I came here to say, and then move into a more freestyling way of expressing to give space for these spontaneous, interesting things to come up. I spoke about that, like my idealized view of close relationships where we would melt together, and that often just ended up in just as intense a need to detach. You need to, it's good to still keep something of your own, or you don't have anything to share, I guess is what I arrived at. So in many of my relationships in these 3 decades of my life, then I noticed that they followed a similar pattern and ended on a kind of in a similar place, with me exhausted and fed up or just needing to get away. Fed up from being so exhausted, from taking in the other's energy and feeling like there's no space for me, because I also couldn't take that space. I wasn't able to. And at that time, I would often just kind of prescribe this as the fault of my partner, like they're taking too much, or the dynamic is wrong. Like, and maybe it was also sometimes wrong, that we were maybe wrong together, or even if it didn't start out that way, then it, that's where it ended. But then I had to accept that since this happened a lot in many different relationships, then like I'm the connecting factor, kind of. And then maybe there was something in me or my approach that also affected this kind of thing happening. So how I was behaving and what I had as a view of how the relationship should be. And it was very like discreet and automatic. While in the relationship, it kind of happened on its own that I would somehow be very focused on, for example, what the other person wanted, or very preoccupied with like wanting them to feel good or get to do something that was meaningful to them. And then I didn't maybe yet, at least in my younger years, like in my 20s, completely know like what I wanted. And then I used relationships as a way of testing out through these different people, like testing out different ways of being, different things of doing, which is not maybe it's not like wrong completely. It's one way to do things. But it can become problematic if that then ends up with you being angry and frustrated at like not having your space to figure out what you want to do. And then it's a sign that you do need to take that time, which I later then did. And so in these situations, after these relationships then ended in me becoming so exhausted and fed up and wanting just my own space, I often then felt like this relief after the relationship ended. Of course, there's pain, there can be sadness, but I also felt a huge relief because I could be in my own energy, I could be alone again. And then I could finally connect to me, like who I felt I was. And I couldn't really do that when I was close to someone else, because the me that I was with someone else was just the version of me I was with that person, while the version who I am when I'm alone with just myself is just me. Or is it? I don't know. Or is that the version who I am with me? Anyway, this got me still thinking about like, who had I been, or where had I been when I was in that relationship? if I kind of felt like now when I was alone, I was myself. How could I ever get to a place where I could be myself in a relationship? Was it just because I was with the wrong person? That was someone I couldn't be myself with? Or was it that that was my approach? That it was hard for me to be myself with others? And maybe it's a bit of both, as it usually is. So, yeah, okay. I have an interesting metaphor here. So I realized that for me, when I was in a relationship, or a close, intimate relationship particularly, it almost felt like I was underwater when I was in that state. Like I was totally enveloped by that other person's energy and easily lost a sense of self. And like I was slowly but surely drowning. And then the only way I could breathe again was by breaking off the relationship. Because my approach to it had been to envelope myself so totally with someone's energy and disappear. And then we come into the whole subject of boundaries. I didn't learn that such a thing existed because, as I spoke in the energy episode, I didn't learn that energy was real, the kind of energy that people have for somehow spread out to each other or affect each other. So of course no one told me, or I had no place where I could look up or learn about boundaries when I grew up. And of course, if I didn't know where I began and the other person ended, or of course then it would be very hard to not disappear or melt together. And then I would have to take extreme measures to find myself again, as in not being together with anyone. And then because I didn't have the tool of any kind of boundaries, that was the only tool I had, was to be alone and not be close to anyone. So I had two modes: being together and longing for that connection. So I wanted to be together, and I tried many times, but that then meant being totally immersed in another person's energy and losing myself. And then being alone meant that I was in my own energy, but then I was alone and I had the longing for connection. So how did I even get to this place of realizing this thing that I hadn't learned boundaries? I think sometimes we might get there ourselves, and sometimes we get help from others, or we happen to meet someone who highlights something for us. And then in a new relationship, after I had taken a few years to be alone, then I also happened to meet a person who helped me to show an example of setting boundaries and asserting that, no, this is how I feel, this is me, and that's you. And I could finally have a space to start to see what was going on, because that person was setting boundaries to me. So there was like these moments when I was pushed out of that underwater place, or of just that I couldn't do that approach of being immersed or focused when that person wanted their own space. And that was very helpful to help me notice that pattern of behavior, because then after those years when I was alone, I had understood that, okay, I tend to disappear when I'm in a relationship. So I was a bit more prepared when I came into that relationship. And I thought like, okay, this time it's going to work and I won't do that. I won't behave that way. But then when you're in a new relationship, you get so swept up, or I do. I'm that kind of person. You get so swept into it and forget all rational thought and just want to be close to that person. And then this person was so rude, or actually so kind, to create enough of a boundary that I couldn't go as deep into being swept up. And had to be in my own space, and that was very foreign to me. So when someone creates a boundary towards you that you're unprepared for, it often hurts like hell. And most often, though, it's like a blessing in disguise. But it will piss you off if you're not used to it. If you haven't experienced clear boundaries or seen an example of it in your life. Like the way I grew up, at least my memories, that I didn't see clear examples of boundary setting, and then it's gonna feel like a shock when you experience that. So that's how it felt, but then over time and in the end I was very grateful, because that helped me to have the space to stop practicing and using this person's behavior as an example, like, ah, you're actually allowed to say, like, hey, I don't have space for this, I have to go and be alone, or I need a moment to process on my own. Actually, that person says so, maybe I can also say that then if I need to. So that really helped. So then about boundaries, like, what do we even mean? Because there are these kinds of manipulative so-called boundaries where you're trying to kind of get someone to do something for you that's not actually a boundary. Like, for example, saying that, oh, for me it's very... Well, you can say that it's important that someone comes with you to, like, a meeting with friends, for example. But that's not a boundary, that's more like trying to get someone to do something for you. And a boundary is just something that you tell someone that you are doing, and they don't really have to, like, do anything. Like saying that, oh, I need a moment alone right now to process or go through something and be in my own space. And the thing is that it can feel for the other person on the receiving end that you're kind of taking away something, because you're taking away yourself. You're like taking away your own presence, your energy from them in that moment when you need to be alone. But actually, they can do whatever. Like, they can do whatever, but on their own. And in the view of relationships as something that you have to do for another, or you have to be always, always available, then that is a very provocative kind of view to have, that, oh, you have a right to ask for a moment alone. Because if you have the view on a relationship where that means that we're so close and we're so connected that we have to always kind of be available for each other, that means there isn't space to have boundaries or create that or ask for that moment alone. And that was where I was coming from. And then, of course, it feels very rude and shocking. And when someone tells me they need to be alone, that's going to feel like very, very rough and aggressive, while it's just them trying to get back to their center and take care of themselves. And it's a way to show caring. And I don't think it's spoken enough about how this type of self-care in extension is caring for another and caring for the relationship. Because when I was melting away and unable to set boundaries because I hadn't learned how to do that and I didn't know I could do that, that often ended in extremes of totally having to detach, totally having to break off the relationship, which isn't good for the relationship. And if then a person is instead able to say that, oh, I need this time alone, and then they can do that. And then if the relationship otherwise is kind of good for both parts and functioning well, then there's mutual respect, then that act of self-defense, or not self-care, self-preservation, kind of helps keep it together, or that both pieces have their place, like both people have a space for their energy to exist in that shared space, which is a relationship. So, yeah, everyone is free to act in their own lives, but if you have a view of a relationship where everyone has to, you have to do things all the time together, then you aren't really free to act. And I realized with this new type of boundary setting that I hadn't been free to act. And that wasn't necessarily because of the other person, but just what I associated with like a good or strong relationship was that you have to like to be constantly aware of the other and do everything together, but you don't. And it was a relief to learn that you don't, can do it in other ways. And then around the same time that I experienced this new type of boundary setting, and well, there were other dimensions in the relationship, like there always is in life, like emotional turbulence and things being processed on both sides. And I just had a situation where I was really longing to connect and be with a person, but I had to take those moments alone and experience being in that dissonant state where what I wanted was a bit out of reach of what was possible at the moment. And that helped me to also realize like maybe there's a different way, or maybe this is a stage of life that, or a stage of the relationship that is necessary right now because of the places we are both in, and maybe I could use this situation to my advantage to actually then, okay, I have this space more to be alone because this person has a need of boundaries. Maybe I can also learn about boundaries and actually get to a place where I can then stand strongly in myself. And I had the advantage of having then learned more about energy and auras or energy centers, and I was still in this very skeptical state and felt a bit silly looking into those things, but at the same time I felt that need and that maybe it could be helpful, so I'll just look into it. And then I, like I said in the last video, I shared about this book about auras and chakras, a user's guide. In that book, then I just happened to find it in a secondhand store. I'll share the reference in the show notes. And there, that writer shared very clear kind of exercises and described her view of the of boundaries and clearing energy and cutting energetic attachments. And that was very useful then, as just something to fall back on or help me on that journey. And it's interesting, yeah, how sometimes the universe provides the right tool at the right time, like synchronistically, that book appeared for me. And then I started practicing and doing this. Basically, the central thing was that it was mostly a way for me to get back in touch with myself and feel empowered in myself and just appreciate, just even if I was in a relationship I wanted to share with another person, I was still also in a relationship with myself, and that also needed its own space. And then I kind of got that, and I got ways to practice that through this book, and I started feeling a bit more hopeful that maybe I would be able to not drown this time. And of course relationships have their stages and it might still end on from different reasons, whatever, but maybe I could still feel kind of more like being able to be myself while in it and then sharing in a more real sense, just by me, I don't know, taking away myself from the equation so that the other person had all the space or whatever I did before. So, yeah, I thought maybe this time around I could learn to build like some kind of a submarine into these waters and not drown, or like a cool magical air bubble, so that I could hopefully explore the depths of a relationship without being destroyed in the process. And I kind of did. But it's still an ongoing process, like these things often are. And if you lived your whole life thinking that boundary setting is mean and wrong, or even didn't know it was possible, then it's not so easy to break that programming or those attitudes. But I think you can gently adjust it over time, little by little, and test out bit by bit. At least that's how I've done it. And yeah. Then, of course, there's the matter that everyone has different needs of in like when it comes to how much closeness or how much space they need. And these needs are also like not constant. It might shift in different situations. For example, when I'm overstimulated or been bombarded with energies or people's emotions or sensory input, I go into a state where I have to be alone, if possible. I have to somehow have a space where I can process everything and try and, yeah, like ground the energies and release or get clear on what's mine and what's not. And then if I'm in that situation, forced to also be among others, and that can be, I can just kind of explode or snap, or there's like this defense reaction that gets activated in me, which I've learned now over time. And then when I notice it, then I can do something about it, or then I'm able to, like when you're conscious about something, then it's easier to be like, oh, okay, now I notice like my tension is rising or my anger is rising, like, okay, I can just say one sentence, usually it's like, I have to go away, or I have to be alone for a moment. And then I go, even breathing for like a few minutes in a different space. Like when you have kids, then you can't always get that, not a long time alone, but you can often just go on the toilet for like a few minutes to breathe and just wash your hands with cold water. Helps me because my hands get really hot when I'm overstimulated, and this has become a very good signal that they become hot because it's like, I'm filled with all these energies, so I can't handle anymore. And then the cold water sometimes just helps to, maybe it helps to clear it too and cool it down a bit. Yeah, so checking here if I have some more things to say in my notes. I wrote really long notes and I just feel like talking a bit more freely. Yeah, right. I was just speculating on how I also realized, like, when I learned about boundaries and about energies, I also realized that also the partners that I was with, they also probably had their own issues with this and their own work with boundaries, but we didn't have any words or any way to understand it or what the dynamic was. And for some people it might be the other way around, just to kind of give an other view of it, or for people who experience that they have a hard time letting people in, on the other hand. Like instead of with me that I'm disappearing, maybe they feel like they have a harder time to open up and actually start to connect with others. And they might be in a process that's a bit of the reverse, that there it's more about learning how to then release some very hard shell or let people in a way that feels good for them. And that's something to think about and feel into in yourself. And then, of course, depending on what kind of a person you are, what kind of relationship you want, like some people want to have a bit of that layer in between, that distance. And I'm a person who's drawn to, I just want to get very deep and very deeply connected. Usually, I appreciate that, so I tend to go there, but I have grown to appreciate that there can be a bit of this in between, and I can have my space too, and I need that too at times. And it can be a bit of a dance where you do, every day is a bit different depending on the mood or energy you're in as well. But then we maybe have some overall tendencies, so good to feel into in your own life. So, okay, what can we land in now that could be helpful to share about boundaries in relationships? Well, in addition to these ramblings I already shared, maybe they are helpful for someone. Well, yeah, every situation is very different, so it depends. As a general advice, I would say only that it's useful to get to know yourself and where you are in that spectrum. Do you have like a strong impenetrable boundaries or none at all? Or and what to, how do you want to relate to others? And the person you're relating to, if it's a close relationship or a friend, can you observe how they seem to function? And then can observe like the energy exchanges or try to peek a bit under the surface, like what's going on here and what happens in different dynamics. What way would I want to connect? And what way is possible to connect? Because that depends on everyone who's part of it. Everyone have their own approaches or their own views and needs. So yeah, that's of course easier said than done, to just observe and just become aware. Because sometimes you're not in a state where you can observe anything, or you just have to experience different situations and be in it, and then maybe later you can draw conclusions and what's been going on. And that's how it's been for me. I've had to learning by doing, or learn the hard way, or learn through experiences, learning through doing things the wrong way, or not the wrong way, but in tougher ways, or then I learn the most usually when things don't work the way I would want to, and then I can think back on that. And yeah, also something about this always being so aware and observant, maybe sometimes it's delicious to be in a chaotic place and letting life flow. And you don't have to be in a rational observing state, you just live. And if that's kind of a situation you're in or feel in your life, I just want to experience and live, that's fine. And just do that and experience it. And then if that changes later and you want to look back and start observing, then you can come back to this advice of observing. So I don't think there's any right or wrong way of doing it. I'm just sharing my own experience and how that process has kind of gone from those failed relationship experiences to now. This could still fail or end, but at least I've learned a lot about this boundary setting and balancing my energy with another. So yeah, for me, my own process of learning about boundaries and how to set them, the core thing, the main thing for me was, of course, to just take time for myself to dare to, or have moments where I can be in my own energy so that I can actually have the space to feel, what do I feel now? And who am I now when I am just by myself? So in order to do that, I first needed a very drastic shift because I had no boundaries at all. I wasn't able to be in a relationship and then try to learn boundaries. I lived alone for a few years and then was in my own energy and learned, connected with myself. I had an introspective process. And then I thought, when I then tried to get into our relationship again, I thought like, okay, now I've learned this. Now I know how to be alone. Now I know who I am. And it's still kind of... I still forgot about my own need for boundary setting when I was swept into the emotions of a new relationship. And I overstepped the other person's boundaries severely because I had been alone and I hadn't needed to practice boundary setting because I was just in my energy. And then when you're suddenly with someone else, then it was like, oh yeah, right. Now I actually have to learn how to be with someone else again. And then that's how you learn. And often we have to learn just by being in experiences and living life. And this time around, then I had the concept of boundaries and energy, so I had something to work with, and that helped me. And I realized then also that subconsciously I had the idea in relationships to be a kind of savior for others by bringing them love, by comforting them and nurturing them. And that was my view of my role in the relationship. I had so much love to give and I wanted to give it all, but I had no concept of giving love to myself or nurturing myself because it was completely overwritten by the need to share it to another. And then this approach, that you just want to give love and solve someone else's problems, help them, that can also ignore the reality that sometimes the best way to love someone is by letting them be, by leaving them alone. And loving someone, or caring for someone even, is an act that is very contextual and not just... pushing. It's not just pushing, get here, take this. So that was also interesting to learn. There's more to say about that, but yeah, as I'm writing this thing, or now talking about this thing to you, I kind of felt unsure if I should even share my learnings about boundaries, because I haven't really seen the end yet, and there's a lot to learn. But I feel like it would be a pity to wait until I'm on my deathbed to share even some of these findings. So that's why I'm doing it now, even when I'm in this process of learning myself. We have to speak from the position we are in, with the disclaimer that obviously this is just my own findings coming from my own life experiences, and you have your own. You can have different views and different experiences, so feel into it, what's useful to you and what's not. Yeah, well, I felt that I was rambling quite a bit here, but maybe that's good. I want to have a free flow of these stories, these episodes, not just reading. I'm reading a bit of the notes to keep kind of the central themes I wanted to talk about. But those were some of the views, some of the experiences that I have had and the learnings I've had about boundaries in relationships, which again may or may not be good advice for you, so feel into that for yourself.